Welcome to the SportsCapping.com podcast with free handicapping advice, odds insights, picks, and predictions to help you beat the sportsbook. And now your hosts, Jack Jones and Brandon Lee.
This is the SportsCapping.com free pick podcast. It's your host, Jack Jones. Brandon Lee will be joining me today to give out our Week 14 NFL free picks. We'll have one free pick each for Sunday, plus our NFL teaser bets this week. Since there's only Army, Navy, and college football this week, we won't be doing a free pick in college football. That means we'll have some extra time at the end of the podcast to review our college football season win total bets and see how we did. We did two separate win total podcasts where we each picked our top 10 win totals in college football and our top 5 win totals in the NFL. So I'm looking forward to reviewing how we stand on those. Spoiler alert, we both done pretty well on those. And Brandon and I went 3-2-1 on our free picks last week. I went 3-0 for a second straight week. I won on Ohio State in college football, the Bills in the NFL, and my 10-point teaser on the Seahawks, Rams, and Bills. Brandon had an 0-2-1 week. He lost on Memphis in college football and the Panthers in the NFL. He pushed his 10-point teaser, won on the Chiefs and Patriots, but pushed on the Browns plus 16. I know that was a tough loss you had on Memphis there, Brandon, because it was a premium pick for me as well.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that happens twice to the same team. And my hat's off to UCF for, you know, coming back, but that's a tough one to swallow. That's right.
Yeah, they scored 38 in the first half, 3 points in the second half.
Just this makes no sense.
I don't know how it happens. Definitely a tough one to swallow there. So I was hurting just as bad as you were on that one. But we're now 139-80-9 over our last 41 football podcasts over the past three seasons. We are 53-26-3 this season alone, dating back to week one college football. That's 67% winners, and it'd be definitely be tough for you to find a better free pick record than that. Let's get on with our NFL free picks for this week. Brandon, what's yours?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs -6.5 at home against the Baltimore Ravens. I know this is probably going to be a big public play, but I just can't pass up on the Chiefs laying less than a touchdown at home. Kansas City is a perfect 5-0 at home this season, where they've outscored opponents by 16.2 points per game. That's not just the result of a couple blowouts either. All five of the Chiefs' wins at home have come by at least a touchdown, and most of those have been over at the halftime. Kansas City has outscored those five opponents 115-38 in the first half, and only once have they not taken a double-digit lead into the fourth quarter at home. I don't think it's going to be any different here against the Ravens, who I think are a bit overvalued right now. Not to take anything away with Lamar Jackson and what he's done and his, you know, 3-0 start as a record as a starter, but it's come against teams who all currently have losing records in the Bengals, Raiders, and Falcons. I also think we're getting a good price here on the Chiefs due to the fact that they're just 1-3-1 against the spread in their last five, just failed to cover a big number against Oakland last week. And there's also going to be those that think the Ravens have a shot here because of how good Baltimore is defensively. They said the same thing back in week five when Jacksonville came to Kansas City, and the Chiefs do whatever they wanted in that game, 130-14. I think there's some doubters out there with KC right now because they've lost Kareem Hunt. I'm not going to say they're better without him, but I also don't think his absence is as big a deal as others are making it. You know, as long as they have a healthy Patrick Mahomes under center and all those weapons on the outside and Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, defenses are going to have no choice but to respect the pass, and that's going to allow for whoever lines up at running back to pick up big yards on the ground. Last week, they rushed for 174 yards in their first game without Hunt. That was their best mark since week seven and their second highest total of the season. The offense has only played the offense has played their last few games without Sammy Watkins. He's back practicing, expecting to play this week. So that's just another guy the Ravens are going to have to worry about here. As for the defense, you know, I know it's not great in Kansas City, and a lot of people like to pick make fun of it and all that, but I think they're more than capable of slowing down this Ravens offense, regardless if it's Joe Flacco or Lamar Jackson. While the Chiefs come in giving up 27.2 points per game on the season, they're only allowing 17.6 points per game at home. The stop unit really feeds off that home crowd at Arrowhead, which I think is the best in the league when this team is playing well. I also think it actually works in Kansas City's favor if Jackson starts here, and I kind of get the feeling he will. I just don't think you can beat this team without being able to throw the football. And, you know, while Jackson has helped Baltimore put up some pretty impressive run numbers, he hasn't thrown for more than 180 yards in any start, and he's got just one touchdown pass to three interceptions. If that Baltimore defense struggles at all and Kansas City gets a lead here, I think it could get ugly because I just don't think Jackson's capable of sitting back in the pocket and, you know, picking up big plays through the air. He's going to keep trying to scramble, and I think more than likely turnovers will happen and only increase the margin of victory here for Kansas City. Chiefs are 8-1 against the spread last two seasons as a home favorite of 7 points or less, 11-3 against the spread in their last 14 against another team from the AFC, and 4-0-1 against the spread in their last five versus a team with a winning record. Ravens have lost four straight against a team with a winning record. I just don't see Kansas City losing here, and I definitely think they win by at least a touchdown, and wouldn't be surprised if it gets ugly and they win here by double digits.
The Chiefs opened as 7.5-point favorites in this game, and I actually agree with the line move. It takes a lot of money to push it from 7.5 to 6.5, and I lean Ravens here, even at 6.5, but obviously would prefer plus 7 or better. This comes down to the numbers for me. The Ravens outgain teams by 102 yards per game on the season. Chiefs only outgaining teams by 20 yards per game. Definitely not the sign of a 10-2 team, and that's because of their defense, which gives up 27 points per game, 417 yards per game. They're 31st in total defense. Only the Bengals have been worse. Ravens first in the NFL in total defense and scoring defense. They give up 17.8 points per game, 282 yards per game. And the Ravens have become a run-heavy team since Lamar Jackson took over, and I think that works in their favor here. They've rushed for a whopping 238 yards per game in the last three games. Chiefs are tied for dead last in the NFL in yards per carry allowed on defense. They give up 5.1 yards per carry. And I just think the Ravens can control the game with their running game. And their defense will get enough stops to keep it close. I do agree with you that if the Chiefs get out ahead, Ravens will be in trouble. But I'm expecting them to stay in it because of their running game and keeping that Chiefs offense off the field.
Yeah, I respectfully disagree, and you can throw any numbers you want with the Chiefs defense as far as them only outgaining teams by 20 yards. If you watch this team at all, a lot of those yards come when they're up by a lot and, you know, playing a prevent defense basically. So I get it. But I think that is a bad way to look at NFL games in terms of, you know, the product on the field. So I'll take my chances here. And I think, you know, the 8-1 record is 7 point or less. So I got a good feeling about this one with the Chiefs at home.
Yeah, man, I definitely, some stats can be misleading. It's just the fact that the Ravens are so dominant as far as outgaining teams by 102 yards per game. I don't think there's anything fluky about that. But the Chiefs definitely, a lot of the yards on defense they've given up with the lead. So I'll give you that one for sure.
I'd have to look at the Ravens schedule. I can't remember. I know they played the Saints, but I have a hard time trying to think of any other big games they played against good teams outside of their division. So
they've definitely played a slightly weaker schedule. At 6.5, I can't really be strong on the Ravens, and that's where it's at pretty much everywhere right now. So I'm going to take the Colts plus 4.5 at the Texans. In the NFL, lines are very tight, and if a line is only a point or two off, I think that is all it takes for there to be some value. And I think this line should be Texans minus 3. So basically, I think we're getting 1.5 points of value here on the Colts, enough for me to pull the trigger. Houston comes in definitely overvalued after their 9-game winning streak, and they're coming off a misleading 16-point win over the Browns. Browns basically gave that game away, committed four turnovers, had a couple touchdowns called back on penalties. Well, they had one called back on a penalty, another one where they fumbled through the end zone on the 1 yard line that was a touchback. They gave up 428 yards to the Browns. They were outgained by 44 yards. I think the Colts, on the other hand, off their 6-0 shutout loss to the Jaguars, definitely maybe getting a few more points than they should here. Colts outgained the Jaguars by 54 yards in that game, held them to just 211 total yards. In fact, the Colts have now outgained 8 of their last 9 opponents. Definitely the sign of an elite team to me. And no doubt the Colts want revenge from their 37-34 overtime loss to the Texans earlier this season. Colts had 478 total yards in that game. Move the ball at will. I think the Texans could relax this week. They know they have a 3-game lead over both the Colts and the Titans in the division, so they can afford a loss. Colts can't afford a loss. They're trying to stay alive for the wild card spot. Andrew Luck, 25-8 straight up, 24-9 against the spread in his career off a loss. I think there's a good chance this game gets decided by a field goal one way or the other, but I would expect the more motivated Colts to win the game outright.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me, and I could probably go either way. I think a lot of it for me is going to come down to the guy we talked about a few weeks ago, and that's starting center Ryan Kelly. The offense just hasn't been the same without him. He's currently listed as questionable. Last I checked, he didn't practice on Wednesday today, which makes me, you know, really question whether he'll be able to play. Prior to Kelly's injury, Luck had gone 5 straight games without getting sacked. He's been sacked 4 times in the 2 games he's missed, including 3 last week against the Jags. He played in the earlier matchup, and Houston was able to get 4 sacks on him. So I have a lot of concern here with Luck being able to sit back in the pocket and, you know, throw the ball like he'd like to. I think he had to check down a lot last week against Jacksonville because he just had no time. And then I get the first game was close, but that's one of those where, you know, Houston was up 28-10 in the second half. And, you know, they kind of just took their foot off the gas and gave all the momentum to the Colts there. So it was a little harder for Indianapolis to move the ball there earlier in the game than, you know, all the yards they racked up late. This Houston offense is a little better at home. I think this Texans team is pretty good, and I don't necessarily love the number at 4.5, but I just don't think it would take a lot for them to win by a touchdown at home. With that said, I think if Kelly plays, I could easily see myself taking Indianapolis, just because I think that he's the one piece of that offensive line that they've got to have. So I'm going to sit and wait and, you know, see if we don't get a little more info on that before. So that's all I mean for me on this one, all I got for that on this one.
Yeah, I like the fact that he was upgraded to questionable this week. I think it's a good sign that he's going to play. But, yeah, I don't know that for sure yet either. And you know, even though I know it's very important, I can't put a ton of stock in it. Just, I mean, maybe he's worth a half a point to a point. But, yeah.
Hey, yeah, didn't they struggle pretty bad there against Dolphins? And, I mean, they came back late. And then to get Andrew Luck got shut out the first time ever in his career. So,
yeah,
very concerning for me. But, I mean, I know the backup got hurt late in that game, but I think he's okay.
Yeah, as well. Yeah, he's all right. Yeah, it definitely – I would much rather – I prefer to have Kelly over.
Yeah, I think he makes all the difference backup here.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right, let's give the listeners a couple NFL teaser winners, Brandon.
Yeah, I'm going to double dip on my premium play here. I'm going to take the Chiefs from -6.5 down to -0.5. And then I'm going to also tease the Eagles from +3.5 up to +9.5 at Dallas.
Yeah, I can't disagree with this one too much. Chances are Chiefs do win the game. Covering 6.5 is another story. And I expect the Eagles-Cowboys game to be close. I'm going to go with the 6-point teaser on the Saints -2 and the Patriots -1.5. Teasing the Saints from -8 down to -2 at the Bucks. Saints have extra rest here, coming off their worst performance of the season against the Cowboys. And extra time this time of year is pretty huge. I think they want to avenge that week one loss to the Bucs as well. I like the Patriots to just beat the Dolphins, who are one of the worst teams in the NFL. I know Miami has had success at home in the past against the Patriots, but it's a real bad Dolphins team that was outgained by over 200 yards against the Bills last week.
Yeah, no disagreement there. Those were two I was, you know, strongly considering for a six-point teaser as well. So I like all four of our plays there.
Me too, man. I think we go 4-0 on those. And there's definitely a lot of good six-point teaser options this week. Let's review our college football season win total bets from back in August. Both Brandon and I gave out our favorite 10 win totals. I'll list them in order from 10 to 1, and announce their record and whether they won or lost. And Brandon and I will also discuss kind of just what stood out to us at the end of each of these. So Brandon had his number 10 was Utah State over 7.5. That went 10-2 and 1. La Tech over 7. Push 7-5. His eighth was Tulsa over 4.5. That one lost 3-9. Baylor over 5.5. That one won. They went 6-6. Oklahoma State under 8.5. That one went 6-6. Texas over 8.5, 9-3. That one. Arkansas over 5.5, 2-10. That lost. LSU under 7.5, 9-3. That lost. Penn State under 9.5, 9-3. That one won. And Mississippi State over 8. They went 8-4. That was a push. So Brandon went 5-3-2 on his win totals. Nice work, man.
Yeah, I'll take it. Still a little sour on the Louisiana Tech, sitting at 7-3. And had two very winnable games down the stretch, including the finale at home where they were a double-digit favorite and couldn't come through. But at the same, I mean, I know I also got some lucky ones there with Baylor and Texas, both pulling wins out late. As for Arkansas and LSU, those two teams are dead to me after, you know, how badly they made me look on those two.
Yeah, man. You know, Baylor was an underdog their last game, but not just a barely an underdog. I liked Baylor a lot that in that game against Texas Tech, and Texas only had to beat Kansas. So I mean, realistically, that one never should have lost, but and it didn't. You won, and you know, it will always take the, you know, 5-3 record on these win totals, no matter what, man.
Yeah, any profit's a good profit.
For sure. I went 6-4. My number 10 was Pitt over 5.5. That went 7-5. And my number 9 was Virginia Tech under 8.5. They went 6-6. That won. 8 was TCU over 7.5. 6-6. That lost. 7, Rutgers over 3.5. 1-11. That lost. Number 6 was Washington State under 6. 10-2. That lost. Number 5 was LSU under 7.5. They went 9-3. That lost. My number 4 was Arizona under 8. They went 5-7. That won. My number 3 was Oklahoma State under 8.5. They went 6-6. That won. My number 2 was Texas over 8.5. They went 9-3. That won. And my number 1 was Florida over 8. They went 9-3. And that one won. So 6-4 on the season.
Yeah, nice work. Give you props there for hitting all 4 of your top plays, or your 4 strongest plays. So.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely proud of the top 4 there. Arizona under, Oklahoma State under, Texas over, Florida over. Those are the ones I had the most money on too. So that definitely made it a little more profitable for me. Pretty embarrassed about Rutgers over 3.5 winning one game, and Washington State under 6 going 10-2 might have been the most shocking result of the year. But
yeah, I don't think anybody saw that coming. No. I mean, maybe 7 wins, but nobody had them, you know, 10-2. That's unreal for what they did.
For sure. They're in the college football playoff hunt for most of the year too. So just crazy. Give Mike Leach some props there. But
yeah, but Pitt over 5.5 almost makes up for it. You know, they're in the ACC title game. So
true. Got them to win the Coastal. So it was a pretty bad Coastal, but we'll take it. No matter how we can get it.
I'd love to know what their odds were to probably win that division. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I bet it was pretty high. Yeah, if their win total was only 5.5, for sure, man. Brandon and I also got together in August for our NFL season win totals podcast. We each gave out our top 5 bets. I'll list those off here also, and we'll discuss them as well. Brandon had his number 5 was Chiefs over 8. They're 10-2 right now. That's a winner. Number 4 was Giants over 7.5. They're 4-8 right now. Titans under 8. They're 6-6 right now. Number 2 was Texans over 8.5. They're 9-3. That's already cashed. And number 1 was Vikings over 10, 6-5-1.
Yeah, I like having the two winners in the bag, but I'm not real confident here with the other three. We need both the Giants and Vikings to win out. I need the Vikings just to win out for a push, the Giants to win out to get a win, and then Titans, I mean, doesn't look great either. I know they're 6-6 and, you know, not the greatest team, but their last four are against the Jags, Giants, Redskins, and Colts, and three of those are at home. So I'd probably be pretty fortunate there to just get a push and go 2-2-1.
And that's exactly how I see it, too, on yours. I'm hoping you just go 2-2-1 here and get a push. You know, the Giants blowing that lead against the Eagles the other day. I mean, they were talking about running the table. So, and they about, I mean, they've about done it since they started talking about it coming off their bye week, I believe. And, I mean, there's an outside chance they run the table for you there. But I know they're favored this week. I haven't looked at their schedule.
It's not great. They're going to have to maybe need some teams, you know, taking week 16 and 17 off to have a chance there.
But, I mean, if they're NFC East games, they'll be all in, you know.
Right.
No matter what. So, yeah, I'm hoping you go 2-2-1 there, worst case. My number five was the Jaguars under 9.5. That's already cashed. They're 4-8. My number four was Bengals over 6.5. They're 5-7 right now. Redskins over 6.5. They're 6-6. Number two was Bears over 6.5. They're 8-4. That one's cashed. And number one was Steelers under 10.5. They're 7-4-1 right now.
Yeah, these all look pretty good to me. I may be a little concerned with Cincinnati just because they've lost Dalton. But, you know, you got to think Washington steals at least one more game down the stretch, even though, you know, they're getting thin at quarterback. But they'll probably win one in week 16 or 17 against another team that's not trying. And Steelers, you never know, could run the table, but it's probably highly unlikely. So I think maybe worst case is 3-2, but I think you got a chance at 4-1 and maybe even 5-0.
Yeah, for sure, man. If the Steelers don't go 4-0, I'll cash their under 10.5. And if the Redskins don't go 0-4, I'll cash the over on them. You know, have the outside shot at the Bengals. That one's kind of painful because they opened 4-1, but they're 1-6 since. All of their injuries at quarterback and everywhere. It's going to be hard for them to win two games the rest of the way. And, you know, all the injuries with the Redskins right now, it's no guarantee they don't go 0-4.
So. Right.
But I think most likely it's a 4-1, and I'll take that. But 3-2, worst case, I think. So
yeah, can't complain there when, you know, sitting that pretty with, you know, 4 weeks left.
Hey, getting the Steelers to win or lose the last 2 weeks is a minor miracle to make that one look good, because it looked really bad for a while.
And they might struggle off that collapse they had.
Yeah, I had the Steelers Sunday night too, so that was brutal. But. The only bright spot that came out of it was that win total. Now looks better. Did you have anything in that game?
I did not. I did watch it, though, and I'm still kind of in shock that, you know, they let that happen on their home field. But it reminded me a lot of I watched that Steelers-Jags game where I thought there was no way Jacksonville could lose, and then somehow Pittsburgh won that game. So they got a little bit of karma there, you know, one each way for them.
Yeah, true. Big comeback against the Jags there. All right, Brandon, let the listeners know how your premium picks are doing and where they can find you.
Yep, still rolling pretty well in the NFL right now. Top five for 2018. We're hoping, you know, to secure my third top five finish overall since joining the site. 68%, 42-20 last 62 NFL plays. Still doing really well in college basketball, and things are heating up in the NBA. As far as college is concerned, 113-62, 65%. On all premium plays released in the first 2 months of the season. I've also got a couple top five finishes the last few years in college basketball. So I'm really excited going forward, and you know, can't wait to finish this year strong and get 2019 started off great.
All right, man. I'm ranked number three in football this season, NFL and college football combined, number two in college football. Also off to a fast start in hoops, ranked number five in basketball this season between NBA and college hoops. Check the long-term results. You find me number one college football capper all time and number one basketball all time, including number one in the NBA all time. Get a 30-day pass right now for $400. That'll carry you through the bulk of the bowl games and end the end of the NFL regular season. It'll also get you all my NBA and college hoops picks over the next month. You know, there's just so much excitement right now, being a handicapper with so many games and the bowl games coming up, that it's just a good time of year to get on board. You can find me at sportscapping.com or betfirm.com. Hit me up on Twitter at betfirmsjack. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Please feel free to leave a review. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Make sure to come back next week for Week 15 NFL and our first round of free picks on the for the college football bowl season.
Thanks for listening to the SportsCapping.com podcast. For more free picks and predictions, be sure to visit us at SportsCapping.com.